Everybody's heard of this Bible character, this father in the Bible by the name of Enoch. The Bible said in verse 21, "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." And then again in Hebrews 11, the Bible says in verse number 5, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we pray you'll take the message and use it for your glory. Honor your word. Father, honor your son, Jesus, our Savior. And I pray you'd challenge all of us fathers today. Speak to us from thy precious word and from this great example of what a father should be in the Word of God. Have your way now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. And hope that you'll keep your Bibles open. And we'll be looking at this Bible character by the name of Enoch. Everybody's heard of Enoch, I'm sure. He's one of the only two men in the Bible that said that he walked with God. Enoch walked with God. The other person that, to my knowledge, the only one ever other one said that they walked with God was Noah. Abraham was a friend of God. Of course, he walked with the Lord. But far as the Bible saying that they walked with God. And I think that that one of the great other statements ever said about Enoch, I believe, is found in Hebrews 11. And the Bible said that he pleased God. What two great statements could be said about a father? And that is that you walk with God and that you please God. Now, those are not two separate statements. I think they're both saying the same thing. If you walk with God, is the only way to please God. And if you're pleasing God, it's because you're walking with God. Amen? I want to deal with Enoch this morning as a father. Now, out of the Bible, there's many fathers. There's fathers that are bad examples. There's fathers that you could preach from in the Bible that would tell us, don't be like this. Don't do as they've done. You know. But then many fathers in the Bible are good examples, and such as Enoch and the Word of God. Now, I know we look at Enoch sometimes as a man that walked with God, and we think he was supernatural. We think Enoch was a man that was not normal. He was not natural. But I want you to know that Enoch was just as human as you are. Enoch was just as much a human being with all of the weaknesses and frailties that you have. Amen? And, you know, sometimes we put these Bible characters up on another level, you know. But the reason they are spiritual, or the reason they accomplished what they accomplished, the reason they did what they did wasn't because they weren't human, that they were abnormal and supernatural. No, it was because they made choices. They made choices, my friend, that resulted in accomplishment. Resulted in a testimony. Amen? And we today as fathers are where we are, whatever level we're on, amen, because of choices that we make. Amen. You know what? Abraham, I just thought of this. Joshua in Joshua 24, the Bible said that Joshua said, "As for me and my house," he told the nation, "choose you this day who you will serve." And he said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And my, what a testimony and what a man of God that Joshua was and his family. Amen? Why was it? He made choices to do that. Sometimes if we're not careful, we'll think that we're just a victim of circumstances, but that's not so. We're really a product of choices. So God help us to make choices that are spiritual. But I just felt impressed early today to mention that Enoch was just a natural man with a spiritual life and made choices, good choices. Anytime you choose to walk with God, you've made a good choice. You're talking about an exercise program, Brother John. You're talking about a good cardiovascular heart workout. Try walking with God. Amen. Amen. That's good, isn't it? But some men of the Bible are known for their words. Maybe something they preached or said or a statement they made. Some men in the Bible are known for their work. But I want to tell you, Enoch was known for his walk. And more importantly, about the walk, what stood out was who he walked with. Amen. And all of us here today have got a walk, good or bad, spiritual or carnal, but who is it that we walk with? Amen. Who are you wanting to walk with in life? But Enoch was a spiritual man, a spiritual father. And Lord, give me this little statement earlier this morning. Enoch's spirituality was the horse that pulled the parental cart. His spirituality was the horse that pulled his parental cart. Everything he was as a parent was being pulled by his spirituality. Amen. Sometimes we get the cart before the horse sometimes. Sometimes we put the parental in front of the spiritual. But no, we always make sure that we got the horse leading, pulling the cart and not the cart pulling the horse. Amen. That's right. Your spirituality should always be out front. Your spirituality should always be the leading influence in your life. It should be that which serves like a foundation on which your whole life's structure is built upon. If I were to ask you fathers here today and ask myself, if I were to ask your family, do they view you as a father to be spiritual? I wonder what the answer would be. I wrote down several things that we could use Enoch's life to preach on if we had the time. Things that we could use Enoch's life to preach on. We could preach on, and I wonder as a father, how many of these could people see in our life and testify of in our life and draw strength from in our life? You could use Enoch to preach about salvation. There was a time at the age of 65 years old that Enoch come to know the Lord. There was an event in his life. There we are back there again, amen. There was an event in his life where Enoch, my friend, went from being a lost Enoch to a saved Enoch. When he went from being one that did not walk with God to walking with God. And God used Methuselah to bring about that transaction. And I can tell you more about that in just a little bit. So we could use salvation to talk about. Or use Enoch to talk about salvation. What about steadfastness? We could use Enoch to talk about steadfastness this morning. After he got saved at the age of 65, the Bible said he walked with God 300 years. And it only ended when he went to the Father's house. Amen. So we could use Enoch to talk about steadfastness this morning. Could we use you? Could you use me to witness or to talk about being steadfast? Whoa, fathers cannot be fickle. Fathers cannot be flimsy. Fathers need to be steadfast and firm and spiritual. And we could use Enoch to preach about spirituality. My man that had a testimony that he pleased God, I want to look at his life. God said that he pleased him. Enoch didn't say that about himself. God said that in His Word about Him. So we could use Enoch to talk about spirituality. Then also we could use Enoch to talk about service. Amen. You could go over to the book of Jude and read about where Enoch, my friend, was involved in the work of the Lord. Amen. And one of the things he was involved in was preaching. Amen. So we could use Enoch to talk about service. Could we use you as a father to talk about service? We could use Enoch to talk about sacrifice. We could use Enoch to talk about sanctification. and separation and living clean and purity. Even Enoch's life itself, my friend, was a living conviction to those around him. Amen. You didn't want to be around Enoch if you wasn't right with God. Because his very life, my friend, would bring conviction on your life. He wasn't interested in conformity to the world. He wasn't interested, my friend, in winning, my friend, recognition and rewards from the world. He was wanting to do something for the Lord. So we could talk about sacrifice and sanctification and separation. We could talk about supplication and the Scriptures and having a stand in his life and standards. And we could talk about his speech and several things that should make up our life. We could use Enoch as an example. But the one I want to deal with this morning, I think is necessary. Well, all of them is probably good and necessary, but I think the one that really stands out to me this morning to challenge me and you as a father this morning, of course, all of us as Christians, is that he was steadfast. I've never seen such a day where people were wishy-washy. They're in, they're out, they're up, they're down, they're on, they're off. The last service they were here or whatever, it might have been on fire, but the next service they may come in dragging their tracks out or not even come at all. You know, and we need to be steadfast. Well, if anything our children needs to see, and our wife needs to see, and our neighbors need to see, and friends need to see out of us as a father, is that we're steadfast. Amen. If it's worth living one day, it's worth living every day, right? Amen. So I want to deal with that as the Lord would help us and use Enoch as an example. First of all, and I'm just going to run through these and hopefully the Lord will speak to our hearts with it. The first thing I want to say about this steadfastness with Enoch, a steadfast father, number one, it was commenced by revelation. Like I said, there was an event in his life that God started walking with him. He didn't just always walk with God. I've had people to tell me, preacher, I've always been a Christian. That ain't right. That's not right. That's not even scriptural. You've not always been a Christian. Amen? There's a place and time in your life where you get saved. And Enoch, my friend, as I stated earlier, what happened in Genesis chapter 5 when Methuselah was born. Something happened with that birth that, my friend, got Enoch's attention and caused him to be, I want to be saved, want to trust God and live for God. And I believe it was the revelation that come through Methuselah's name. His name, Methuselah's name means when he is dead, it shall come. And if you look at the Scriptures, probably the layout of it is this. When Methuselah died, the flood came. The flood came. So what was it that Enoch had a revelation of, Brother Henry? He had a revelation of the upcoming future judgment of God being poured out on sin. And thereby God spoke to Enoch and dealt with Enoch, and Enoch got right with God and lived steadfast for 300 years for God. Well, I tell you, you'll never really want to walk with God, live for God, till God reveals Himself to you. There'll have to be something, my friend, that'll get your attention. There'll have to be something preached. There'll have to be a circumstance in your life. There'll have to be something, my friend, that gets your attention. Has there ever been a time that God got your attention? God got Enoch's attention. He was 65 years old. God got his attention through his child that was born. Boy, if anything ought to disturb fathers to want to live for God is when they see that little daughter or that son come into the world, into their life, and underneath their responsibility, and underneath their influence. Oh, yes. It was commenced by revelation. It started. There was a place and a time that it started. And then I want to mention a second truth. Not only was it commenced by revelation, being steadfast and spiritual. It started at a point when God revealed to Enoch about the upcoming judgment. And He used His son, Methuselah, to do that. But number two, I would like to share with you this morning that this spirituality, this steadfastness of Enoch, my friend, not only commenced by revelation, but it was a contrast to the deterioration. You remember when Enoch lived for God? In the days before the flood. Enoch lived for God when nobody on planet Earth was. Even Noah testifies there was only 8 people when the ark was built that was saved. That was Noah, Mrs. Noah, Ham, Shem, and Japheth and their wives. That was it on the whole planet. Amen. Genesis chapter 6, it talked about how that God looked down and saw the wickedness of man. I mean, there was wickedness everywhere. But what was Enoch doing? Enoch was being different. Enoch was being spiritual. Enoch was being steadfast. We can't blame how dark it is on our spiritual slackness. We can't blame, my friend, the circumstances of life on why we're not steadfast. No, we can't do that. Enoch, my friend, walked with God 300 years in a day when there was no morality. There, are we not about there now? We are living in a day, friend, when wrong is right and right is wrong. We're living in a day, friend, the more wicked and ungodly and perverted that you are, my friend, the more rights that you have. Are you listening? And I wish I could say it's going to get better and things are going to straighten up, but I can't say that. Because God done said in His Word, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. He's coming. It's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse, preparing the stage for the Antichrist to step on the scene. Whether you realize it or not, this world's already looking for a man. And some countries think we've got him. But I got news for them. America don't have him. Hey man, if you think our hope is in Washington, your head's empty. Amen. Amen. You're very confused. If you think government is the answer, no. God is the answer. Amen. And I'm telling you, Enoch lived for God in a day of moral decline and everything that could go wrong was. But what was Enoch doing? What was his children seeing? What was his wife seeing? A spiritual father, steadfast, continuing as a contrast to the deterioration of the day. Well, like this, everything the world was for, Enoch was against. Everything Enoch was for, the world was against. His life was a contrast to the deterioration of the day. Amen. That's not popular. That's not popular preaching, and it certainly is not popular living. Amen. What's popular is to blend in. What's popular, my friend, is to have all of your ministries at the church to be just as fleshly and worldly as you can possibly get it. Throw a Bible verse or two in it so somebody will say you're doing it at church. Amen. I'm going to tell you what's the truth, friend. Enoch was what he was because of who he walked with. You cannot live a carnal, worldly, fleshly life and walk with a holy God. If God is your partner, if God is the one that you're walking with, He's going to influence you. And you're going to like His influence more than the world's influence. You know why the Enoch didn't live to please the world? He wasn't walking with them. You know why Enoch, my friend, wasn't interested in pleasing and living a worldly life? He wasn't interested in pleasing the world. Most people today is interested in pleasing the world. Most young people today is interested in pleasing the world. You know how I know? Because they're interested in the world pleasing them. Amen. Whoever pleases you, or whatever pleases you, you will live to please. If it's the world that, my friend, pleases you, and you're looking for your pleasure in the world, guess what? Then you're gonna direct your life. I can't say it no better than that. Direct your life in a way, my friend, to please the world. But Jesus said the world will love its own. If you're of it, they'll love you. But Jesus said about you and I that are saved, we are not of the world. We've been chosen out of the world. We are to be a separated people. We are to be a sanctified people. We are to be a spiritual people. Why? Because we're walking with God. And we need to do so steadfastly, because it is a contrast to the deterioration of the day. It was a happy day in my life when I got set free from peer pressure. I'm talking about even after I got saved. First 20 years of my life, I was lost, Brother John. I lived my life to please the friends and fit in with the crowd and be popular. Oh, that's bondage. Everything you wear, everything you do. I remember dating a girl one time, and I'm talking about after I got saved. My wife knows about this, because don't worry about it. I wonder if Miss Lisa knows about this. She knows all about it. Amen? And I dated her. Of course, I didn't, you know, wearing the fads and the fashions and all that stuff, that wasn't important to me. I was saved, preaching the gospel, tickled to death of being saved. And I wasn't the least bit interested in whether my clothes was in or not. I mean, I could care less what the tag said if it was some name brand. I could care less. I mean, that wasn't even a thought. And this girl now, she was right the opposite. And she always put me down because of what I was wearing. Not being in and not being, you know. Well, that was bondage. That short-lived relationship wasn't nothing but bondage. Amen? I mean, it was just bondage. It was. Oh, live to please God has the element of freedom with it. It don't matter what they say or think or the world. It don't matter if you line up with Hollywood or not. It don't matter if you look like a movie star or not. As long as you've got your own walk of pleasing God. Because I tell you the truth of it, when you live to please God, God will please you. Amen. I remember hearing Brother Banks preach right here, live as you please, and you'll not be pleased with how you live. Amen. Well, I got to hurry. Not only was it commenced by revelation, it was a contrast to the deterioration, but also it continued for the duration. 300 years he didn't get in, my friend, with the thought of getting off or getting out. When I got saved at the age of 20, January 20th, I didn't get in with any reservations. I didn't get in to, my friend, think, well, I'm going to try this a little while. No, you don't try Jesus. You trust Jesus. Amen. Amen. You can't try Him. You can't try Him. You've got to put your whole destiny, your eternal destiny on Him. Sink or swim, heaven or hell, it's going to depend on Jesus. And I'm willing, brother and sister, to put it all on Him. You're not trying Him, you're trusting Him. Amen. But it continued for the duration. We've seen it here, and you see it everywhere. People that claim to get saved and they don't seem to make it 2 to 3 weeks and they're gone, they're out, they're back in their sinful ways. Something's wrong with that. Something's wrong with that. Amen? You say, preacher, did any of them get saved? I don't know if they did or not. Now, I wonder why they didn't get what I've got. The book of Jude talks about a common salvation. That means, Brother David, if you're saved, you got what I got. There's not an A, B, or C salvation, or an American salvation, and a Chinese salvation. There's just one. Just one Savior makes common sense. Just one Savior, just one salvation. Amen. They get in and out and use that little phrase, I'm just backslid, preacher. Show me that in the New Testament, would you? Show me that in the New Testament. Oh, you can find it in the Old Testament dealing with the nation of Israel. Are you listening? But you can't find, you'll be hard pressed to find that this concept that we call backsliding in the New Testament. You know why? Because the Bible counters that concept of backsliding with the Bible truth of perseverance. Amen. The Bible talks about perseverance. Amen. Not to be saved, but because you are saved. Quitting is not a sign of salvation. More out than in is not a sign of salvation. Amen. I tell you what's a good sign is that when you get saved and announce that you're a Christian, confess that you're a Christian and can announce it. My friend, a good sign is that, listen, you just keep pressing on. You may stumble around, you may wobble a little bit on the shaft. But I'll tell you, as a general rule, you just keep going. You know why? Because when you do get slack, then your Heavenly Father will move into your life with correction and chastening and dealings. He will. Amen. But all He has continued for the duration. I think it is interesting that He lived for God 300 years. Died when He's 365. It's amazing, we've got 365 days in a year. And out of 365 years, only 65 of those, my friend Enoch, wasn't right. I think a lot of people would be way ahead of the game if at 300 days out of a year they'd live for Jesus. But oh, we ought to be consistent. We ought to be it was commenced by revelation. It was a contrast to the deterioration. Amen. I preach that. I try to practice it as well, but I try to preach that. I'm against the worldly Christianity. I'm against it. I'm against it. All 164 pounds of me soaking wet, my friend, is against it. A lot of the churches are for it, and they're building their ministries on being loose and being liberal. I'm not. This church is not, and it's not going to be, as long as I'm here. Amen. 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 Sure, we could go that route, loosen up in some areas, not have some standard in some areas, and not preach against some things, and we could have this church packed out, but with what? With what? Amen. So I'm against it. My life, my preaching is going to be a contrast to the deterioration. Well, anyway, then it continued for the duration. And then number four, are you listening? It was commended by an affirmation. God told us in Hebrews 11 that Enoch pleased God. That he had this testimony before he was translated, before he was taken out of this world, Enoch had a testimony that he pleased God. What an affirmation. What about that? It was commended. You said, preacher, is it going to be worth it to live for God? As a father, is it going to be worth it to live for Jesus? Is it going to be worth it to be different and raise our family in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Is it going to be worth it? Oh, it'll be worth it. It'll be worth it because God will be sure, my friend, to commend you for living that life and walking with Him. And then I would like to say also, number five, listen to this. It was crowned he was crowned. That life he lived was crowned by a translation. The Bible said in Hebrews 11 there that he was translated. He didn't. Enoch and Elijah was the only two men that left out of here without dying. Amen. Elijah left out of here in a whirl, chariot of fire, and a whirlwind took him out. And Enoch, my friend, just was walking with God, and God said to him one day, "It's closer to my house than it is yours. Come on to the house." Amen. And so he went on to the... Amen. Went on with him. Amen. But it was crowned. Oh, thank God. Enoch, my friend, you know there was persecution. You know there was hard times in Enoch's life. You know that. You know that he was persecuted. You know that. But oh, it was worth it all, Brother Brian, when it come to coronation day. When it come to translation day. When it come time that he left this world and took flights to heaven. Amen. It was worth it then, brother. I'll tell you, it'll be worth it in your life and mine, no matter what we have to put up with, when we see him. Songwriter had it right. Just one glimpse of his dear face, all sorrows will erase. Amen. But I tell you what, dear friend, to see Jesus having lived a shabby life, you will be ashamed. It won't be something you'd look forward to. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28 talks about being ashamed before Him at His coming. What would cause us to be ashamed? How we live. Being silent, not telling others about Him. Amen. So not only that, is crowned by the translation or by the coronation. And then last of all, it was copied. That is, it was put in print for our illustration or our motivation. Weren't you glad that God put it in the Bible about Enoch? It was copied so that we could have an illustration of what God expects out of us. Amen. Enoch walked with God. What a statement that could be said about fathers. Enoch walked with God. He pleased God. What a statement and what a motivation and what an inspiration that should be to you and me. Amen. Well, we've just kind of just bumped some of the highlights of Enoch's life. There's not a whole lot of said about Enoch as far as verses, a lot of volume. Not a lot of volume of Scripture about Enoch, but my soul, look what is said about him. Look what is said about him. Because you see, value is not contained in volume. Amen. It's not the more that can be said, the more valuable you are, or the more important that you are. That's not it at all. Fathers, are you interested in being an Enoch in the house? Are you interested in being an Enoch in the world? Oh, you know good and well if Enoch walked with God, my friend, 24/7, that had to include his home life. You know that had to include him at the house. You know his wife noticed. You know his children knew about it. They weren't ashamed to have a daddy that was, the children didn't have a, weren't ashamed to have a father that they could say, walked with God. Oh, could that be said about us as fathers today? Or could it be said about us? Amen. Children, if you got a saved father, I'm not talking about one just professes it but lives it, it's evident. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't be ashamed to tell somebody if the subject were to ever come up. Don't be ashamed to ever say, "My daddy's an old time Christian." Don't ever be ashamed to say, "My father loves God." Don't ever be ashamed, my friend, to reference your daddy as being a spiritual man. Amen. I know that won't fit and won't line up with the world and all of that, you know. Oh, some children can talk about their parents' or their father's accomplishments. They could talk about their father's actions. They could talk about their father's abilities. But what about talking about the Father's spirituality? Can your children or wife say about you, fathers, that with confidence, I believe that he is saved. I believe he's a saved man. There's fruit to that fact. There is testimony to that fact in his life. I see evidence of that in his life. I want to be like Enoch and walk with God. Use Enoch as a Bible character that will be a mentor for you. As a father, you're not pattern yourself after a lot of the heroes of our day. Because I'll just be honest with you, a lot of the heroes of our day are really zeros. They're really zeros. But a real hero, my friend, is one that makes good choices. And the best choice first is to get saved. And the best choice is to live for God and want to walk with God. Christianity, a lot of Christianity today seems to be shown in the area of boredom. You can't go hardly to any church without seeing boredom on people's faces. Especially in young people. They're bored. They're bored with the music. They're bored with the messages. They're bored with the ministry. It's just a boring thing. You know why? And a lot of churches know that, and they're catering their ministries and they're changing their ministries to try to cater to the young people. No, the ministries don't need to change. The young people needs to change.
Right.
Amen. Right. Amen.
Right.
That's right. Amen. And so, listen, use Enoch as an example of your fatherhood. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.